Hello, and welcome to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Joining me are Seth.
Hello.
Craig.
Hello.
And Tori.
Hello, Internet.
So this week we're going to be covering chapters 16 through 18 of Elantris, which I haven't read for about a week, so that's going to be fun. But first, good thing. Seth, why don't we start with you?
Damn it. I was trying to think of one. Can we come back to me? It's been a long day.
Nope. Be here on time or get picked first.
Okay. Good thing. Let's go with, I suppose, I'm going to steal one from a couple of weeks back that wasn't mine, Final Fantasy Record Keeper, which I'm now addicted to, and I hate both Tori and Craig at this point. I'm so addicted to it that I basically got several of my characters up to level 73 in about 3 days, lost all of my data during a factory reset, and now, I believe another 3 days later, I've got characters up to 99. So while I'm doing that and working, I have no idea, but it has become my new all-consuming thing. Damn it.
Yay!
All right.
It worked. Good things work.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's a good bad thing, I suppose. It's bad for my productivity. It's very, very good for my nostalgia.
Well, since I don't want to get sucked into yet another 10-minute long conversation about Record Keeper, why don't we move on to Tori's good thing?
Okay, mine is kind of personal, but it's a big one. Everybody, I do not have cancer.
Hey!
Yeah. I had a bad test about a month ago, and I had to wait almost 3 weeks for the follow-up exam. So that was a very stressful 3 weeks. And I got the results right away, and I do not have cancer.
Huzzah!
That's a scary 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It was scary, and I didn't tell anybody except my husband, my best friend, and my boss. Like, that was because, you know, if it was nothing, I didn't want anyone to worry about it. So there was a lot of not telling anybody. It was very stressful, but now that's over, and I don't have cancer. Yay.
Well, huge congrats.
Indeed. I think Tori wins good thing.
I'm now experiencing a month's worth of worry over you in the space of 30 seconds, so that's hooray.
I just kept thinking if I had to undergo chemo that I would come out looking like an Elantrian at the end. It was so awful. I get to keep my hair, you guys.
Right. I actually just Googled a picture of that the other day, just because I was having... I knew what my headcanon was, but I wanted to see what it actually looked like, and that is both horrifying and hilarious.
Okay, so yeah, that's you win good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So Craig,
I can't top that.
Oh, surely you've got something good going on. It doesn't have to be quite that epic.
I think I'm just gonna go with sleep. Sleep is a good thing. We spend about a third of our lives sleeping, but you know what? It usually feels pretty good. Assuming you have a good bed, which is something I actually need, we need to get like new stuff because the one we got is crap. We got one of those mattresses with like a foam covering at the top. It's not a good idea because you can't flip the bed over completely. Yep. You can only rotate it, and that just doesn't work.
If you feel like coming out to Denver, my hotel is giving away some old box springs and mattresses, but then again, it would also be bed that several hundred other people have likely slept and done other things on.
Yeah.
So I would bring bleach.
At the bare minimum.
Hazmat suit.
All right. My good thing this week is a game that I don't have yet, but it's sort of top of my wish list. It is called Slay the Spire, and it's like someone plugged a computer into my brain and made a game from all of my favorite things, and that's what came out. It is a roguelike deck-building game. It's got relics a la Binding of Isaac. It's like an RPG combat system. It's very, very good. And yeah, I need it. I need it, Precious.
I still haven't forgiven you for all the money that I spent once you got me hooked on Magic the Gathering.
I have a basement full of cards that I can't use for anything right now.
The last time we were moving, my wife found a box just filled to the brim. And being a country girl, she said, "Seth, what are these?" And I said, "Oh, about $300.
So I just looked it up, and I already have that on my wish list. It's an early access game, which is probably why I didn't buy it yet.
Yeah, it's not full release yet. There's still at least one more character that they need to release, with obviously a deck to go with it. They're putting out weekly updates. The devs are two people. So yeah, putting out weekly updates. They recently added like a daily challenge mode. It just everything about this game screams, this was made exactly for me. Other people might enjoy it too, but they're not the target audience. I personally am. So, we ready to get going on these chapters?
Let's do it.
Yeah, whenever you guys are.
We are. It's your turn.
Okay.
Go.
Fantastic. Okay. Starting off with chapter 16. As always, we're starting off with Raiden. Quite a bit happens in this chapter. I don't know if I'm going to, because I missed out on the other weeks, I don't know if I might accidentally mesh six chapters together here, so please forgive me. But I have to say, finally, definitely seeing some action, learning a lot more about how other people felt about Raiden originally. Definitely more about the amount of faith he's able to inspire in people, I guess. And I very much enjoyed seeing, I'm actually just going to skip to the end of the chapter, because even though there's a lot of really cool stuff, I can't remember if it was this week or last week, but when they go and, actually I think it was last one, but I didn't get to talk about that one, so screw it. When Raiden and, I cannot remember her name, but the female gang leader.
Kayrita.
What was that, Tori?
Kayrita.
Okay. When they went and snuck into the king's palace, I kind of had like a Yakety Sax thing going in my head throughout that entire bit, which took a very serious and interesting thing and turned it a little goofy, but sometimes you just can't turn that off. But it's, I just don't know. I keep wanting to skip right over to Serene again, because as per usual, her chapter really won it for me. But I guess to sum up the remainder of chapter 16 and Raiden, get to see a wonderful part where he basically gets the, turns around one of the warlords or gang leaders, if you will, and converts him and most, if not all, of his gang. So now, in a short period of time, we've gone from him and a small band of people that he's more or less saved to recruiting to two entire other gangs or damn near it. So that's obviously a charismatic leader, and I very much enjoy his character, but as per usual, Serene's chapter really... I just really enjoyed more. On to 17 in that chapter, I have to think my favorite part is probably the fencing instructions and how we get to learn a little bit more about some of the other women in the capital, as well as a couple of the, I think they were dukes. I can't remember their exact titles, but it's, and then with the conversations between Serene and her father and the growing shadow of war and doom on the horizon that conversation brings with everything that's going on in Fjordel and how they're going to, obviously we know what Raithen is thinking because of his chapters, but that there's very good chance that war is on the horizon for all. And, I'm just so very much, I'm going to change it. My favorite part was probably the conversation between Serene and her father. It was fan, fantastic. It was telling of her mindset prior to when she left to go over for the marriage and be more into his, yes, he is the, you know, the benevolent king, but there's also, I mean, very clearly he, there are things that he misses. There's some things that about her that she cues him into, which her perspective, or I mean, I think it was probably a little bit of her perspective and a little bit of what she was able to clue in on from other conversations throughout the court back home. But I don't know, it was a wonderful building chapter that I enjoyed very much, even though outside of a little fencing practice, not a lot happened. Just some wonderful, wonderful character building. And then for the first time in I'm not sure if I've ever really just thoroughly dove into a chapter about Harathan, but this one I definitely enjoyed more than the others. I think you get to see a little bit more behind the curtain, if you will. You get to see the machinations.
Yes.
One of those was definitely right.
Hey, yeah, we're just gonna, you know, we're just gonna carpet bomb the vocabulary here and get something right. But get to see that while he is, you know, very much very deep into this religion, there is some humanity behind the man. It's, he does very much want to, is the bloodshed and make this transition as easy as possible. All the while, Diloph, or as I will forever know him in my head as Gollum, he starts showing his desire to, I don't know, I almost want to say usurp the authority of Raythan. And while he does seem to be fairly adept at trying to do that, Harathan is, he's thus far been able to thwart these attempts, and I'm gonna guess that Gollum's gonna have a bad day pretty soon, or at least there's gonna be an attempt to bring him low, or just straight up oops him off the top of a building or something. Or maybe, oh no, I accidentally spilled poison in your drink and forgot to tell you. So I very much enjoyed that chapter as well. Again, I'm finding myself more drawn to the full character building chapters. It's very enjoyable for me to learn more about the people than just seeing their actions, seeing the things that make them act the way they do, act the way they do, think the way they do. It's a very enjoyable thing for me as a whole. So that's, I guess, to sum up everything, that's what I got.
So what actually happened in the Raoden chapters? Sorry. You mentioned literally no events.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, I did. I guess I didn't. Okay. Well,
this is where you get your book report ready.
In broad strokes, I did.
Pretend there's... it's been like 2 weeks since I read this, since I read these chapters, and remind me what actually happened.
Hold on. The thing is, I burned through six chapters, so I'm kind of getting a few of them kind of squashed, I guess. So I'm just afraid I might dip back a chapter or a bit. Get back three chapters.
Well, that's fine.
Okay. All right. So let's see here. There was the aforementioned time where they basically snuck out of Elantris via a underground water, or I guess it was a river. I don't know if it's a tube system, but then that somehow goes right to the castle, which is sweet.
Yeah, it's a subway.
The person
you nailed it. They rode the water subway.
It's a tube. And so he and man, I'm again with the names, but he and
K-Rayta.
Herita, thank you.
K-Rayta. No,
I'm trying to Kerata. I keep trying to say it like I've been watching too much anime lately. So, which actually might be feasible. But they make a little deal. They go into the palace. Hijinks ensue, where we find out that she used to be I suppose she still is the wife of one of the guards there. She gets to see her child, which tugs at the heartstrings for sure, for me as a parent. And then upon their departure, a very, very, again, this is why the yakety sax music was kind of playing in my head. They come up across a guard, and then Raiden does a neat little, I don't know, magic trick, because he can't do the full-on stuff yet, which I'm, again, assuming he will be able to do eventually, and scares the crap out of the guy, which it was just entertaining to read for me.
I think magic trick is an excellent description. It is both magic and a trick.
Indeed. That's probably why I use the words. But then, you know, smash cut. A little bit later, we have so she has decided to join him. She also does realize that he is the prince/former prince, depending on how you look at it, because she did see him around, and also, of course, watching how he acted around everyone else. But they end up joining forces. Her gang appears to join his gang. Everyone's happy, except some of her people find out that there is the third gang led by I should just really start making up names for people as I go, I think, because I just cannot remember these weird, weird freaking names for like 57 characters. I for the life of me, I'm gonna have to like write them on the wall in front of my computer so I can do this. But it's for the gentleman who is a crazy warlord / used to be a sculptor guy.
That's Aenden.
Aenden. Okay, yeah. We've got Raiden, we've got Raiden, Raiden, and Aethan.
Aenden.
Aenden. Oh god.
Yeah, that's the fake name. His real name was Tayain.
Yeah. So Bill. Bill is a crazy guy, and well, or at least appears to be a crazy guy, and though he is, as we saw in earlier chapters, a former sculptor on the outside. So through utilization of spring cleaning, they're able to show him the beauty of the city around him, and in doing so, I guess, kick off some fond memories, and they're able to subvert catastrophe when he is trying to set a trap to kill several of the I guess we'll call them the good guys, because again, the names this week are just, there's too much fake names and words this week.
You were doing so well with the names earlier.
I got the main three down. Doesn't that count? And I know the names of most of the territories fairly well. I mean, does that, no credit for that? I'll take a C. Can I get a C on this one?
I mean, I think it helps when people actually read this, you know, they read through it quickly, so you sort of learn the names. The fact that we're only doing three chapters per week, and then we went a couple of weeks without you.
Yeah, right. I noticed.
So can understand that right now you're very rusty.
I'm definitely gonna put together a little cheat sheet for myself, I think, from here on out, just to make life a little bit easier. But that's not gonna help us today. So on with the misremembering of names and pronunciations and making up descriptions for people. So that's pretty much everything from chapter 16 that I am either remembering or I felt worth noting. Excuse me. So did I give enough about chapter 17 that we don't need to delve back into it? I feel like I went about the last two chapters a lot more than I did the first one originally.
I agree.
Thank you, Tori. Michael?
Well, what I was looking for was like a description of the events and then also your reaction to them. And what I was getting was your reaction.
Well, I described them to a degree.
I like how he called it spring cleaning.
It was. It was. And I, okay, I mean, look, Mike, when I read, most of my things are my reaction to what I'm reading and how it made me feel, Michael.
That's right.
So, I mean, I'm not, I am, if anyone wants to reread the chapters and listen to this while doing, hitting play at certain points, they'll get to understand my emotional connection to the events that are unfolding in the book. But I am
like a commentary on a DVD.
Basically, yes. I know, right?
Oh. Okay.
That's a great idea.
I have
idea.
My good thing for next week.
I want to start another podcast where we do commentary on books or on audiobooks.
Oh, okay.
Which would be basically
my impression
impossible.
Of your feeling, Seth, is that Serene is best.
Serene equals good.
That's my impression.
Yes. Though I think Harathan is, well, I guess we'll get into to all the projections here in a little bit. But Harathan has definitely grown on me in the last few chapters more than he did previously. He's gone from this guy is bad guy to we have a complex individual here who really could swing either way based upon future events.
Hmm. Oh, quick note. Yeah. Based on some constructive criticism from Tiru, I do want us to try to make a bit more of an effort to pronounce names correctly. So it's Sarini.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry. That's I'm going to go ahead and I don't think I have executive veto powers, but I'm just going to please forgive me. I don't want to be this guy, but I'm definitely not going to do that. I will try it on every other one, but I am calling her Serene until the day I die.
Okay. You've convinced me.
You tried, Mike. You tried.
I'm sorry. I just can't. It's I hate Serene, the name, so much. It's just so much. She's a beautiful, wonderful character, and therefore she will be Serene in my head. And that way she shall stay, assuming she doesn't die eventually. I don't know. I don't know how much like Game of Thrones this book is yet.
All right. Yeah, let's do your guesses for
okay.
Raoden.
I'm guessing more and more that he's going to either completely I think this would be the less likely of the two, completely undo everything and become normal human again. I have to say my strongest guess is that he's going to find some way to just become full Elantrian and then, you know, become shiny and stuff, I guess. I don't, and be able to do magic and ooh, I just had actually another idea, but we'll get to that here in a minute. So yeah, that I think that they're going to turn Elantrius back into the shining city that it once was at some point during the book through magic of some sort with Aeons and the whatnot. That would be my guess for him. As far as whether he finally gets together with Serene or not, I would have to say that this is starting to feel like it's definitely more of your I don't know. I don't want it to sound derivative when I say this, but it does seem to follow the typical formula. So I think that yes, they will probably end up getting together eventually. So yeah, to that.
All right.
And then he becomes king of, I don't know, well, actually probably like a democracy or something they'd throw together based upon what I know about both he and Serene. So, and then, you know, happily ever after with, I got nothing there.
King of all presidents. Gotcha.
There you go. Indeed.
All right. Serene.
Again, I think eventually that she and Raiden will get together based upon the fact that this, again, the book does seem to be following a formula. I think that she is going to subvert the hijinks that Harathan and Gollum are trying to bring apart and now I can't even remember the name of the damn town.
K?
Really? Why, man. Why did I think it started with an A? Oh, well.
Because the kingdom is Aerilon?
There we go. Aerilon, that's where I was heading. That's basically what I was shooting for. I guess the kingdom, not so much the city and said kingdom. But
functionally, yeah. They're the same thing.
Yeah. No, true. City's like basically like a city state, I suppose. But yeah, it's. Oh, shoot. I just completely forgot about something else that happened in her chapter. Then the part where they mentioned that Fjordan has basically been sinking the king's ships, kind of a huge deal that I glossed over very, very quickly. So.
But you glossed over that, so many things. Why would this one be more important?
Okay, to be fair, it was a long freaking chapter, man. That was a whole lot of chapter.
The Serene chapter this week was seriously like 30 pages long. It was insane.
Yes, I am aware of that. I mean, I didn't want it to end, but dear God, I had things to do and I needed it to end. So,
19 pages.
How many pages?
19.
So like 30. Yeah.
Gold
medal Mike.
It depends on the
close to 30.
It depends on the size of the print and so on. And I'm not going to lie. I definitely listened to it. And it took half, but it took a long time, but it was, I think she's going to very much become, I don't know. I actually could almost see her more as the ruler if they end up doing something like that, or the elected official head of the Senate. I don't know, whatever they end up wanting to do with the government. But I think that based upon her just extensive knowledge of the, bureaucracy, I suppose, and how to more or less, trying to think of the right word here.
So democratically elected teenage queen of the planet.
She's 25, Michael.
You were making some Star Wars references there.
Oh, sure was.
But she's just exceptionally good at, I keep wanting to say bending people to her will, but that sounds a little bit more devious than I mean for it to sound.
Palpatine-esque.
Sure, there you go. And just before you ask, yes, Serene is still my favorite character before we get to that portion.
We didn't need to ask.
I know.
All right. But, Hraithen / Diloph guesses.
Okay. Hraithen, I am so torn on him because he almost feels like he's at a crossroads for me as I'm reading the book. There's these parts where he seems entirely normally human and not like a dogmatic priest that he was very much portrayed to be at the beginning of everything. It's almost like the contrast between him and Diloph are really starting to set apart the differences here, just almost like night and day in the way they believe their religion. I think Diloph is going to bite the big one here at some point. That is my educated guess on him, though I will definitely allow for him temporarily usurping the authority of Hraithen for something, and then Hraithen goes and has to, I mean, just to make that conflict that reads so well is definitely feasible. But I think that Diloph is very clearly overstepping his bounds, and at some point Hraithen is going to either personally or through his workings just go ahead and axe that guy, either figuratively or literally. The crossroads I was referring to, I don't know, man. It does almost feel like he could swing good guy if certain events played out in exactly the right way, is he seems to have doubt in some things as far as how he very clearly doesn't like killing people, I guess, or at least it does seem to be somewhat hesitant when he does do it. The example being the burning of the Elantrian, he did it because he felt he needed to, but he didn't relish it, it seemed. And then in the, when he sacked, what is it called? I almost wanted to call it Dorne. Again, no more Game of Thrones for me.
Dúladel.
Tori?
Dúladel.
Dúladel. Okay, thank you. When he basically sacked Dúladel, he very much regretted the loss of life in that event. So, I don't know. I do feel like he could come around to redeeming himself. It's at least in the cards right now, for the way I personally take what I've read. But, I mean, again, it really could go either way at this point. So I would hesitate to make a firm guess on him.
All right. Before we finish up your segment, I would mm-hmm. like to point out that next week we will be physically about halfway through the book, like almost Huzzah. Exactly halfway through. I would like you to have prepared a list for next week of who lives and who dies.
Okay, I'm down. I can... hell, I have part of a list in my head already. I'm completely down with it.
All right.
Questions, comments, observations?
I mean, there's something I would like to ask you about, but at the same time, I really don't want to because it might be cluing you into stuff that you didn't notice.
I would recommend against asking me that then.
Yeah.
Because, that's
kind of where I'm at.
It's possible I wouldn't catch it. I'd rather not risk it.
Well, now it's too late. So you've been alerted.
Well, I'm alerted to something I may have missed. There were like 500 pages. So honestly, I have no idea.
It went from like 30 to 500.
It's over 9,000, Craig. It's over 9,000.
Always.
Yeah. So does anyone, to steal Mike's phrase, does anyone have any questions for Seth?
Given that you just made a Dragon Ball Z reference, why is Pilaf Gollum and not Emperor Pilaf?
Because I watched Lord of the Rings much more recently. Plus, I genuinely feel that he exerts more Gollum-ness, I guess. Gollumitude.
But his name is Pilaf, and the other guy's name is Pilaf.
Yeah, I want to call him Pilaf all the time just because of the spelling.
I would also like to point out that I have a toddler frozen about 1,000 times in the last year. So I also want to call him Olaf pretty much constantly. So, I mean, is he a frozen snowman? Is he a tiny purple pseudo emperor from Dragon Ball Z? Did they ever really nail that down? He was a hobbit, right? For all intents and purposes.
Yeah, he was a hobbit.
Yeah, he was a hobbit, right? So he was as opposed to a deranged, murderous hobbit played by the always charming and lovely Andy Serkis.
Can't he be all three of those things at the same time? I feel like he really can.
He's Andy Serkis.
He played by Andy Serkis,
Andy Serkis, played by Andy Serkis. Oh, God, could they mocap Andy Serkis playing Andy Serkis?
Yes.
Could that be a thing? Oh my god, I would watch the crap out of that movie.
Didn't we talk about this like a few weeks ago?
Yeah. Andy Serkis starring Andy Serkis.
Sounds familiar.
Andy Serkis and Andy Serkis picture produced by Andy Serkis.
What I would love is if you guys talked about that in the week that I'm present and somehow me not having listened to that episode because I take my job seriously. That would just be entertaining for me that came up somehow. But yeah, I'm going to stick. I know we may have talked about it before, but I stick by my statement that Andy Serkis should be like Andy Serkis in the Andy Serkis movie, and it should be completely CGI.
Except that it's just Andy Serkis in a mocap suit.
Yeah, but it's still all CGI, for sure. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I just saw Black Panther. He was amazing in that movie.
And, he was so good. The whole movie
so
was
good.
Great.
So good. So good.
All right, I think we're done with you. Get out.
Wow, that was quick.
Man, you didn't even ask Tori and Craig if they had any questions.
We don't.
Okay, well, there you go then. All right, bye.
Yeah, I think you actually covered, after some urging, you've done a pretty good job going over what we're looking for.
Well, I mean, I finished the vodka, so it...
Yeah. Basically, I would like your summaries to pretend that someone listening hasn't read the book and that you are... covering what happened.
See, and I've always done it as though they're reading along.
I mean, that's making a huge assumption, and
I like to have faith in people, Mike. They can read and or listen to.
Like, I reread chapters in prep for the show. Craig, yeah, as far as I know, does not. So he's doing all this like just off the dome. So the best tool he has for knowing what actually happened in the chapter is whatever you say.
And we do have listeners who are fans of Brandon Sanderson and don't necessarily want to reread the books that we're going through, but they want to hear your thoughts.
That's entirely logical. And I will start preparing my summaries to aim for that effect.
Think of Craig. Think of Craig's poor, poor reading time.
Poor Craig. Craig's poor reading time? What about my poor reading time?
You're listening to audiobooks. You're fine.
I know. It's awesome, man. I love audiobooks so much.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I'm almost done with this one series that Tiru has been like feeding audiobooks to me on.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I forgot that I bought Audible, like, 6 months ago, and so then I logged in the other day, and I had all the credits, and it was like freaking Christmas.
Oh, nice.
It's like so many books I could listen to now.
I still need to get an Audible account, but yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's... I have to say, I jumped on the aforementioned company a while, probably about 2 weeks ago, once I saw that I had all these credits lined up, and so... Yeah, I am going ham on some audiobooks right now.
All right.
All right, bye.
Adios.
Wow. He kicked himself out.
All right. Thus begins the spoiler-filled portion of our show. Do you get the thing up, Craig?
Yes.
Cool, cool. All right, so last time I forgot the chapter Aeon. So let's go into that real quick. Chapters 13 through 15 had Aeon Dio, which means gold and metal, which seemed kind of weird to me. Like, there was some talk of money, but there's, like, more money talk later, so, I don't know, that one was kind of weird. 16 through 18 was Ate, which means grace and smoothness, which I'm not sure was super-duper appropriate for these chapters either. We're just playing Calvin ball with these things at this point. Did I lose everyone else?
Is it just me?
I'm still here. Okay.
I get that reference.
All right, so Seth guesses. What did he get right? What did he get wrong?
Well, I'm sure I mentioned it before. I'm looking forward to what he's going to think of Diloph, because he is sort of writing Diloph as a henchman. Like, he assumes Harathen has power over Diloph. He has no idea. He has no idea what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he got majorly wrong. He's right. Sort of right that Raiden will somehow fix.
Right, but that's thing. That's like, if that wasn't going to happen, then why did this book even happen?
Yeah, we talked about that before, and it makes sense. I think it's a safe guess. It's a safe guess.
So I'm actually looking forward to his list of who lives, who dies, who tells your story, Hamilton.
You were just full of references.
I don't know that there's a ton to go on.
That's fine. Like I said, I think his thoughts about Diloph are the most interesting. Especially right. Because he keeps calling him Gollum. Like, eventually he sort of has to get rid of that perception. If he keeps assuming he's just this, basically this annoying side character, it's going to be more of a shock, I think.
Sure.
That'll be fun.
Oh, so the thing that I wanted to ask him about but didn't want to alert him for things was the whole phone call with the crazy stoner dude who makes the potions.
Yes, yes.
All right, I didn't reread that, so I'll need a refresher.
Okay, remember how later on in the book...
Hang on, because I also reread the chapters every week, and I have a written summary of notes that I take.
Man, so what you're saying is you guys do a lot better job than I do, but my excuse was I was practicing for a tournament.
Yeah, I was watching you practice for a tournament, like, every freaking night.
Exactly.
I still
But
manage.
You always talk about the Cosmere in such interesting ways, and I don't, so that's why you're here.
Oh, okay.
All right, Tori, regale us with your notes.
Okay. So I'm just going to skip to the relevant part. Later, Rathan uses his secret Sion to call Fortin, a druggie and druggist in a faraway country village. He orders a mysterious compound. Fortin says he'll send it ASAP.
Okay, I know what that is.
Yeah. Like, first time through, it seems like a nothing bit that should have been cut from the book.
Sure.
But, you know, once you realize what happens later, where Rathan becomes a fake Elantrian for, like, 3 days.
And then... that's not even going to be that far, either.
It's...
I think it happens soon-ish, because then the same thing's going to have to happen to Shireen later on.
Right. Oh, freaking... Seth didn't mention the Widow's Trial.
Oh, right. Well, he doesn't know anything about it yet, right? Because I think...
She hasn't decided what she's going to do with it yet, but, like, she gets advice, she finds out what it is. She talks to Father Omin? What's his face?
Omine.
Thank you. Yeah, like, she has a whole conversation with Father Omine, the tiny little adorable priest guy.
Yeah.
Like, who's basically a Muppet.
I basically reread up to halfway through Serene's chapter, so I'm aware of what happened.
But yeah, he hasn't really talked about her widow's trial yet, and we know that's going to be, like, a huge factor in the... Like, that basically covers Act 2.
Yeah. But the thing is, he doesn't know it's important. He thinks it's just this thing that she has to go donate to the poor or something like that. He has no idea what she's going to do with it.
Yeah, that comes up in her next chapter.
And then we get, like, 2 or 3 chapters of Widow's Trial and, like, from both her perspective and from Raoden's coming up. It's a whole thing. So I've actually been sort of paused on Cosmere reading while I try to finish out these audiobooks that Tiru somewhat forced on me. They're actually very good, but it's sort of eating up all of my reading time at the moment. It's The Demon Cycle by Peter V. Brett.
Oh my gosh, I love those.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just finished book 4 and started on book 5, and minor spoiler for anyone who hasn't read it yet, everyone dies at the end of book 4. There shouldn't even be a book 5 because everyone's dead.
Minor spoilers, you say, and now I can't read it. Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Just everyone's dead.
But it's still so good.
Except that everyone's dead. Literally every named character dies. All of them.
So, back to Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah, back to Sanderson.
Right, where just about nobody special has died so far.
Do we even have, like, an on-screen death? We had the one Elantrian get burned, but we're not sure yet that actually does even kill them. We don't get any sort of conclusion on that, I think, ever.
I sure hope it does. It would be awful if it didn't.
I mean, it's entirely possible, and within the magic system, that any Elantrians who were burned or had their heads caved in or whatever are still alive and able to feel everything right up until the chasm line gets put into the city.
Man. At least it's going to happen soonish.
Which means that scene actually kills the most characters, I think, in any Sanderson novel ever in one go.
If you put it that way, yeah.
Well, no, sorry.
Yeah.
No, not even close. No. Sorry, end of Mistborn.
Yeah, that kills a lot of people.
End of Mistborn 3 is like the entire world minus 5 caverns worth of underground. Of folks. Yeah. So do you guys think it's weird that there are horses on every Cosmere world?
There was a word of Brandon about that. I don't have it offhand, but I vaguely remember people asking about that. There's some basic animals that you're going to get because either humans brought it with them or because of the way they were, you know, mimicked, created.
My headcanon
is chickens one of the things? Because I think chicken is everywhere, too.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be.
Well, my headcanon is that the shards just all really like horses.
That's a good theory. I mean, who doesn't like horses?
Centaurs.
I think they at least half like horses.
Nope, they hate horses.
Really?
They find them to be a cruel mockery. That is 100% true, and you shouldn't even bother trying to look it up, because I'm telling you right now that it's totally true. You can trust me.
Sure, I can.
all right, do we have anything else? Because I've got quotes. Do we want to do quotes?
We can look at quotes. So in chapter 16, on page 207, I don't have a quote here, but basically, at the bottom of the page, Raiden thinks that the problem with the Mad Seons is that the blotches caused by the Sheod make their Aeons incomplete. And so I just thought that was interesting, that he was kind of onto something there.
Yeah,
I actually have that same section highlighted, yeah.
Yeah, I think I also wanted to bring that up. I have that page saved.
Where he's right,
that was
except sort of, and not completely.
Sure. I mean, we are only a third in. He can't have the full solution yet.
You had all the clues. You could have saved her, Mr. Policeman. No?
So full of references today.
Mm.
Not just today. That's just sort of how I roll. No, that's not interesting. Not sure why I highlighted that. Oh, here we go. With Sereni doing her fight club, she asks Lukel why he's... Lukel?
Lukel.
Lukel, okay. She asks Lukel why he's there, and his response, I thought, was pretty entertaining. "I fully expect this to be the most entertaining experience of the week," he said, reclining in his chair and putting his hands behind his head. "I wouldn't miss it for all the gold in Wyrn's coffers." He's there to watch women beat each other up.
I mean, that usually is entertaining.
Next thing I've got is Sereni continuing to make basically the same mistake that she keeps making. One of the same mistakes that she keeps making of forcing these powerful and not humble men into doing things they don't want to do. Eondel looks surprised. I have never sparred with a woman before, Your Highness. I don't think it would be proper." "Nonsense," she said, tossing him a sword. "Defend yourself."
Mm.
Just, Sereni keeps making two mistakes. One is forgetting that because she was married to Raoden, technically and legally, she has a significant amount of power in Aralon because of it. And then the other is she keeps forcing these guys into doing things they don't want to do. I don't know that it ever really comes back to bite her in either case, but it's a mistake she keeps making and continues to not learn from.
Yeah, I don't know that that does ever get her.
Yeah, I feel like other things happen, but that one doesn't ever really come back. It's a little frustrating. If we ever get Elantris 2, I feel like that should be something that comes up. It probably won't, though.
Well, and why do you think that is? Like,
why do I think that's something that should happen, or why do I think that's something that could happen?
Yeah, well, why do you think it... both. Why do you think it should happen?
I mean, just standard writing technique is characters' flaws should result in consequences for them. Otherwise, but how do they ever learn to improve on those flaws and, like, grow as characters?
But is it a flaw? Because she's bullying these powerful men around and ends up getting her way, and things work out for her when she does. So is it a flaw? Like,
I would still say that
if
yes,
it was constantly blowing
flaw
up in her face, I could see it being a flaw.
So you're arguing that it's what? It's a character trait then? Like,
maybe.
It's a positive for her because it happens to benefit her?
Well, like, for example, when little girls are forceful, we say they're bossy. But when little boys are forceful, we don't. They're just being boys. Would this be a flaw if she was a male character?
I think so, yes.
I don't know, like, so she's forceful and bossy around these men, and it ends up working out for her, and she gets her way. Now, if it was constantly blowing up in her face, and she still wasn't learning from it, then yeah, I could see it being a flaw, but Sanderson is portraying it as she's getting stuff done, and I don't know, maybe he meant it as a character trait rather than a flaw.
I mean, it's presented as a flaw in an earlier scene when she forces Duke Royal, I think? I think that's who it was.
Right. And she thinks, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
And that's kind of where I'm coming from. This, is that it is at one point presented as a flaw, but then it never actually comes back against her.
I think it's just more nuanced than this. It's not like saying this fits into one column or the other. It's more like this particular approach didn't work at the time. The character thought about it and adjusted.
She didn't adjust, though.
Well, maybe like she saw it as a flaw and then later embraces it and it's not a flaw.
But I feel like it falls into the same category as the you know, forgetting that she's married to one of the most powerful people in the country, making her one of the most powerful people in the country. Like, it keeps being this very temporary thing that, oh, I goofed, and then everything's fine. So, I don't know.
I can see that.
Okay, next quote. I have... Hrugoth Jah, Dilaf yelped in surprise, the Fjordel curse rising quickly to his lips. And I just wanted to point that out as a clue to Dilaf's true character nature.
I had that marked as well.
Because I don't know if you guys have dealt with many people who speak multiple languages, but generally speaking, if you curse...
You always curse in your native language first.
Right. Like, you can choose to curse in other languages, and sometimes that's appropriate, but you gotta think about it for a second.
Hmm.
If you stub your toe and say, oh crap, you're saying that in whatever language you started with.
That's a good point.
So, I thought that was a nice little clue, and worth pointing out, and Seth didn't notice it, and I don't know that I have much else highlighted from here out. I think I just got caught up in reading. Yeah. I think I just got caught up in reading and didn't bother highlighting any rest of it. One thing, Fortin says something fairly funny, and I'm trying to find it again. Oh, yes. Yes, my lord, I'll get started immediately. Feel free to pray to me anytime you need to. Yeah. Fortin, the druggy druggist, which, that's a wonderful play on words, Tori.
Thank you.
thinks that Hraithen is able to talk to him through a Sion just cause he's a holy man, and he can.
Holy man with his holy powers doing his holy things.
Yeah. I just thought it was a fairly entertaining little tidbit there, but you know.
I'm just picturing Fortin as every stoner I went to high school with, and
oh, in the movie of the book, Fortin would almost certainly be like played by Tommy Chong, assuming he's still alive.
Yes.
Is he still alive?
Oh, I don't know, but that him or someone like him needs to be playing this part. I agree.
Or yeah, if Tommy Chong dies, then like Snoop Dogg? I feel like we could get Snoop Dogg for this.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, that's about all I've got. Craig, you got anything?
Not really.
Tori, anything else?
Nope, not really.
Okay, then we want to call it?
Okay.
All right.
I mean, unless we want to keep talking about our dream cast for the movie version of the book.
I mean, we're already at an hour, but I don't know. That's okay. About all
we'll
the casting
save it.
I
had. We'll save it for the halfway through next time.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I want to hear what actually Seth thinks. Because his choices might reveal something.
Oh yeah, we should get him in on this.
Yeah, okay. I'll end the recording and then I'll type something up to him. So
cool.
All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Goodbye, Internet.
Bye.
This has been the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @CosmereCast or like us on Facebook. Our theme music is Traveling Made Up Continents by Gillicuddy, used with permission. Hear more from him at the Free Music Archive. Thanks for listening.